the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Life, Art, Being, Integrative Arts Festival, taking place July 28th to August 5th at various locations around Portland. The Life, Art, Being Integrative Arts Festival will include workshops, panel discussions, and performances about somatic, expressive, deep ecology, and community building, creative, and ecological practices. Again, that's the Life, Art, Being Integrative Arts Festival taking place July 28th to August 5th at various locations around Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Willamette River Festival and Movie in the Park, Sunday, July 30th from 1 to 10 p.m. at the Cathedral Park waterfront in Portland. The Willamette River Festival is a celebration on the waterfront with live music by Shanghaied on the Willamette, Norman Sylvester, and more, as well as a beer garden, food carts, an environmental fair, DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid, and more. Again, that's the Willamette River Festival and Movie in the Park, Sunday, July 30th from 1 to 10 p.m. at the Cathedral Park waterfront in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. and we've got 1 hour of flashpoints courtesy of KPFA in Berkeley and Pacifica Radio Network. At 11, Between the Lines Radio examines the Presidential Commission on Election Integrity and calls it a GOP Trojan horse to expand voter suppression. At 11:30, Making Contact explores the aftermath of the ghost ship fire and the battle to preserve live-work spaces. And thanks, KBOO members, for all of your generous support. Those who have not made the hard left turn from passive listener to active member can remedy that at kboo.fm/give. And this is Flashpoints.
Flashpoints, the Gaza Strip in ruins under Israeli occupation. Also, conflicts now as the Israeli police move in to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Palestinians are trying to defend their right to pray. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Coming up more, also multinational corporations squeezing the life out of Puerto Rico. And is Jerry Brown's cap and trade a front for corporate polluters? A lot going on today. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, a big breaking story. The Israelis once again have moved into the holy sites that the Palestinians consider the holiest of places. Now you need to, it's sort of like you're going to the airport. Palestinians need to go through a metal detector to go and pray in their most holy site. We're going to be talking about that and what's been going on in the Gaza Strip, which is getting worse and worse under Israeli oppression. Joining us is Ziad Abbas, who works with the Middle East Children's Alliance. They also have an event coming up. We're going to tell you about that in a moment as well. But Ziad, welcome back to Flashpoints. It is a tough time once again. Could you give us an idea of what you understand is happening there at the mosque?
Actually, I'm watching the news, and we are following all the reports. And since like a week, first of all, the Israelis, they closed the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It was for decades, and actually some people, they say like since 1967, they never closed the Al-Aqsa. This is the first time they closed the Al-Aqsa for a few days. After that, they opened it. They closed the Al-Aqsa. They were in attack near Al-Aqsa Mosque. And after that, they have middle detectors.
They opened security. It up, but you have to go through security.
Yeah, everyone needs to go to
Israeli security, right?
Yeah, of course. The Israeli police, all the time they are there. They are watching the people. They are searching the people, etc. But this time it's different. What they did, they arrested like around 20 people. They are working in Al-Aqsa. They related to the what we call them Waqf. And this is like since 1967, this run by Jordanian. Jordanians still, they are the authority or the government, like paying their salaries. They are taking care of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they arrested almost 20 people in jail. They are working in Al-Aqsa and around Al-Aqsa, and at the same time they didn't allow the people to get in without going through this middle detector security gates. And the people, they were protesting since that moment. Actually, the people, they refuse every night, every day, every time going to pray. The people, they go pray in front of the security gates because they refuse to do that. And this is the people, the Palestinian people in general, they lived this kind of scenario before. This is what happened in the Ibrahim Mosque in Hebron years ago. And you remember the massacre in 1992, what happened, 29 people, they were killed inside the mosque. And right now the mosque in Hebron divided, and all the Palestinian prayers, they want to go to the mosque, they need to go through the security gates and checkpoints until they go to pray. What's going on in Al-Aqsa, it's not something like a surprise. Israel, they have a plan targeting Jerusalem in general. And for 4 years, since 1967, almost like they changed reality in Jerusalem. For the first time in the history, that the Jewish settlers, they become the majority, and the Palestinian people living in East Jerusalem, they are the minority. And at the same time, the Israelis, they are doing a lot of construction and digging under Al-Aqsa. You know, the goal of the some Jewish groups, they want to build the temple, to find the temple and to build the temple there. And they are targeting Al-Aqsa where they can build the temple. And recently, like since a Friday until now, it's clear that the plan, it's to take over Al-Aqsa. Right now, if you want to go to Bray, you need to go through all the Israeli checkpoints and all this kind of security. And they provoke the people. Many people, they were injured, actually. Tens of people, they went to hospitals.
People have been injured, they've been put
in jail. Yes, people, they were injured, people, they were arrested. And just a few hours ago, I was watching the Arab media. They were reporting the evening bray, like in Palestinian time, there were tens of people, they were transferred to the hospitals. Among them, women, old people, young people, they were injured after the Israeli group. They targeted the Palestinian community. They tried to break in front of one of the gates near Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they attacked them. And at the same time, last a few days, there were many calls coming from the Palestinian community, political factions, Palestinian authority, from all over, like in Palestine, all the groups in 1948. In Gaza Strip, in West Bank, they were calling for tomorrow as a Friday. It will be the day to defend Al-Aqsa, where they ask.
And it's already actually Early morning, it's now
3 o'clock, like in a few hours, and we don't know what happened. And this is the history. If we go back a little bit, like in 2000, in September, end of September 2000, when Sharon did that visit to Al-Aqsa,
they took the 1,000 cops and marched in.
Yeah, marched in, and after that, the second intifada started. Now I don't know what will happen. I don't expect, but this is like a day where people, they are the media there. The community there, they are focusing for tomorrow. What could happen, no one know exactly.
And I'm looking at the misreporting coming out of, for instance, the BBC, where it's all the provocations of the Palestinians. They're saying that the Palestinians intended to disrupt things, disrupt visits. The Palestinians are understood to have barricaded themselves into the mosque on Saturday. Well, they're in there because they're supposed to be in there.
Yeah, people in Jerusalem, actually, they have a long history with the Israeli occupation. And people in Jerusalem, since 1967, I speak about the Palestinian people living inside in the old city and around the old city, where all the time they try to defend. I'm not saying just the Muslims, even the Christian community in Palestine, even the atheists, sometimes they go, it's something like where you need to defend. You know, the occupation, they are targeting this holy places to take over. And according to one of my friends, actually, I spoke yesterday in Jerusalem, and he told me it's really hard, difficult to be around Jerusalem these days. And what the Israelis did since 1967 until now, they were targeting the body of East Jerusalem. Like, for example, they are implementing an ethnic cleansing policy, like, and some people, they call it slow ethnic cleansing policy, where they push the Palestinian people to leave their houses and to push them outside of Jerusalem, make it difficult for them to live and survive. Targeting the education system for them. It's not easy to have your own business. People, they have shops, depend on tourists. It's not easy for them to survive. Even some of them moved out to have their businesses out of the wall. You know, there is a wall surrounding Jerusalem. At the same time, since 67 until now, we have over 600,000 settlers living in West Bank. But most of them, the majority of them, they are living in settlements surrounding Jerusalem, which they have like a circle of settlements right
600,000
now. Yeah, over 600,000 settlers living in West Bank, and most of them living around Jerusalem. And this is like he said, according to my friend, and here I quote him, they were targeted the body of Jerusalem, like the hands, the legs, the stomach. But what happened since Friday until now, they are targeting the heart
of
Jerusalem.
This is the heart of the matter.
This is the heart of Jerusalem.
And this is part of that plan of making Jerusalem their new capital.
Yeah, and people in Jerusalem, actually, they feel they are alone in this kind of battle. They are fighting this since long time, even like every Ramadan, people, they want to go to the mosque, the difficulties. All the time, the Israeli right wings, they try to visit Al-Aqsa. Some leaders from the right wings, they try to visit Al-Aqsa, and the Israeli authority, they allowed them to go to visit even before the Palestinians. So it's the Israeli procedures and the Israeli policy, it's there since, and there is a goal. And right now they are using the timing where the whole world, what's going on in the world, especially in the Middle East, look what's going on in Syria, over 10 to 11 million people, they were refugees. Look what's going on in Yemen. Look what's going on in Libya, in Iraq, and even the other countries, they are not stable. They use this opportunity at the same time. This is the time.
Well, everybody's diverted looking at the various crises to move into Jerusalem.
Yeah, at the same time, you see, there is kind of a new relationship coming right now. I'm not saying new, it's all the new relationship with
expanding.
Some regimes. Yeah. Normalization. Saudi Arabia giving green light to Israel. They are cooperating with Israel. Egyptian, they are doing the same, which make it difficult for another 2 million people. They are living in Gaza. This is the biggest prison on earth in Gaza Strip. And this is the best opportunity for them to take over Al-Aqsa and to control Al-Aqsa. At the same time, they slapped the Jordanian government, because the Jordanian government, even a few months ago, they were like, when they were a huge conflict on Al-Aqsa, and in the end they find a solution. Okay, we will have cameras. We will set tens of cameras around Al-Aqsa so we can watch everything, so to keep the place secure. But right now, by arresting 20 people of their of the Waqf group in jail at the same time. They slapped the Jordanian totally. And this is a right-wing government inside Israel, and this is the plan to take over Al-Aqsa.
And we can expect this to get worse, more intense.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be everything. It can be. It's hard.
Because the Palestinians
tough.
Are not going to stand by. They're just not going to stand by idly and let this happen. I mean, this is obviously a provocation. The Israelis provoke, and then they blame the Palestinians.
Yeah, as a journalist, I'm watching the report, and I'm reading, and we talk with the people there in the ground. We in Mecca, we have many projects. We are working in different parts of West Bank, Gaza Strip, in Lebanon. But we have our own project in Jerusalem itself. Like, it's something that's going on all the time. It's difficult for the people to move and to get in, especially to the mosque. And as people even living in Jerusalem, it's very difficult for them to move. To be honest with you, in the bus, when I was living in West Bank in the Hesha refugee camp, all the time I was, like when I joke with my colleagues or my friends from East Jerusalem, I consider them, they are privileged people because they are living in East Jerusalem. They have the blue ID. It's not citizenship, but it's like less than an Israeli, but still they have free movement. Right now, the people in West Bank, they are privileged comparing with the people living in East Jerusalem. Actually, people in East Jerusalem, they don't have any privilege. They are attacked in everything. They are attacked with water, with the health, with the education. And right now, it's even to have the freedom to go to pray in Al-Aqsa, they are not allowed. And me personally, even when I was living there since 2000 until now, I visited San Francisco more than I visited Jerusalem, which my refugee camp, it's not that much far from Jerusalem. It's actually less than 10 miles.
10 miles.
Someone living in Richmond. Yeah. And want to go to San Francisco, you are not allowed to go to San Francisco, and you need a special permit to get to San Francisco. And for us, like, we used to go to the hills, to the mountains, to look at Jerusalem. Like, you go here to Richmond or to go to Al-Sarid Hills and to look toward the Golden Gate or toward... This is... You have generation of Palestinian people, children, they grew up around Jerusalem, they are not allowed to visit Jerusalem.
It's amazing. All right. That's the voice of Ziad Abbas. He is working with the Middle East Children's Alliance here in the Bay Area in Berkeley. We're good friends with Mecca. We want to talk about an event, but let me just ask you to give us the quick take in terms of the Gaza Strip. Things are worse than they've ever been. They're getting worse all the time. Electricity, what, 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours a day, no pure water.
Yeah. Gaza Strip, it's the same story. It's continued the same since 10 years right now. This year, it's 10 years for the siege on Gaza. That there are over 2 million people, they are living in Gaza Strip. They are living on 139 square miles.